ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home, text number 36. Sanjaya Uvacha. Sanjaya said,
Not.
Aham.
I.
Veda.
No.
Vyavasitam,
determination.
Pitroho,
of your uncles.
Vaha,
your.
Kulanandana,
O descendant of the Kuru dynasty.
Gandharyaha,
of Gandhari.
Va,
or
Mahabaho,
O great king,
Mushitaha,
cheated.
Asmi,
I have been.
Mahatma
Bihi,
by those great souls.
Translation,
Sanjaya said,
my dear descendant of the Kuru dynasty,
I have no information
of the determination of your two uncles and
Gandhari.
O king,
I have been
cheated by those great souls.
Text number 36.
Vimrija Shruni Panibhyam Vistabhyatmanamatmana
Ajata Shat
Pratyuche.
First,
he slowly pacified his mind by intelligence,
and wiping away his tears,
and thinking of the feet of his master,
Dhritarashtra,
he began to reply to Maharaj Yudhisthira.
Sanjaya said,
my dear descendant of the Kuru dynasty,
I have no information
of the determination of your two uncles and Gandhari.
O king,
I have been cheated by those great souls.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
That great souls cheat others
may be astonishing to know,
but it is a fact
that great souls cheat others
for a great cause.
It is said that Lord Krishna also advised Yudhisthira
to tell a lie before Dronacharya,
and it was also for a great cause.
The Lord wanted it,
and therefore it was a great cause.
Satisfaction of the Lord is the criterion of one who is bona fide,
and the highest perfection of life is to satisfy the Lord by one's occupational duty.
That is the verdict of the Gita and Bhagavatam.
Dhritarashtra and Vidura, followed by Gandhari, did not disclose their determination to Sanjaya,
although he was constantly with Dhritarashtra as his personal assistant.
Sanjaya never thought that Dhritarashtra could perform any act without consulting him.
But Dhritarashtra's going away from home was so confidential
that it could not be disclosed even to Sanjaya.
Sanatan Goswami also cheated the keeper of the prison house while going away to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
And similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami
also cheated his priest and left home for good to satisfy the Lord. To satisfy the Lord, anything is good, for it is in relation with the absolute truth. We also had the same opportunity to cheat the family members and leave home to engage in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. Such cheating was necessary for a great cause, and there is no loss for any party in such transcendental fraud. Vimrijyasruni panibhyam vishtabhyatmanamatmana ajatashatrum pratyuche prabho padavanusmaram. First he slowly pacified his mind by intelligence and wiping away his tears and thinking of the feet of his master, Dhritarashtra, he began to reply to Maharaj Yudhisthira. Sanjaya said, "My dear descendant of Kuru dynasty, I have no information of the determination of your two uncles and Gandhari. O king, I have been cheated by those great souls." Of course, Dhritarashtra throughout his life was somewhat cripple-minded. He had very good association, but somehow or other, he always supported his son Duryodhana against the advice of Vyasadeva, against the advice of Lord Krishna, against the advice of so many great personalities, not the least of his own brother Vidura. So he was practically, his spiritual progress was blocked. A devotee has to first of all recognize that he needs guidance from the spiritual master and from the Vaishnavas. We are in this material world in Kali Yuga, and we're certainly mandabhagya, or very unfortunate. Even in Satya Yuga, perhaps it was possible to perform Ashtanga Yoga on one's own and achieve self-realization. But even in order to perform Ashtanga Yoga, one needed some initial guidance from a spiritual master, from Shastra, from scripture. Although the elements of a relationship with God, the elements of spiritual life are sadhya, or within us already, they're natural, but they must be brought out by some divine process. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kavunoi. It's natural. But Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Koraye Udai, by constantly chanting the glories of the Lord, by chanting our rounds, by attending the kirtan of the devotees, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. In that way, this natural spontaneous devotion is catalyzed, it is energized, it is brought forth. Otherwise it will lie dormant. Sometimes we see in the modern days that there are so many bombs going off, and terrorist bombs, etc. So the police will come across some terrorist bomb, and it will be potentially a bomb, but the starter cap is not there. The ingredient needed to detonate the explosion. So the ingredient needed to detonate our spiritual life is the association and submissiveness to great personalities. Association means that we are prepared to take instruction. Now, we always have our minute independence, and we certainly have our rational intelligence, which we're not at all encouraged to reject or forget. We maintain our equanimity, our evenness of mind, our balance, but we do need help and instruction, and therefore we have to be open to this process and not unnecessarily become a faithless person. We don't want blind faith, but we don't want blind doubt either. So one has to be sensitive and prepared to make changes in his life. When you take the association of surrendered souls, surrendered in the sense that they are surrendered in terms of renunciation, the real barometer of someone's advancement in spiritual life, or a barometer, is how much he has been able to cut the knot of attachment for everything ephemeral, everything temporary. The material world has no future. The material world is, even in its completeness, it is a temporary manifestation. So no matter how long you can hang on to it, eventually it will be destroyed. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. Again and again the host of beings is manifest in the material world, and again the material world is destroyed. So we cannot be attached here, and someone who has learned how to become detached, who's learned to act in the material world in a spirit of detachment, if we associate with such persons, we can expect that we will also get some inspiration to get detached. But if we're too cowardly, if we're too foolish, then perhaps we're wasting our time and theirs. In fact, the devotees will sometimes give us tests to see if we're actually sincere. Just like the initial stage is siksha, or hearing, but the next stage is pariksha. One does not go immediately from siksha to some kind of diksha. And diksha may be formal diksha, known as initiation, or diksha may simply mean an informal accepting the instructions and taking those instructions to heart and changing our life, changing our habits, changing our way of acting, changing our paradigm, our way of looking at the world. Now this may take time. It certainly will. It's taken us millions and perhaps billions of years to come to where we are now. Amazingly enough, it is difficult to surrender to spiritual life because it's taken us a long time to get entangled this heavily. And one does not get out of such deep entanglement just like that, just so easily. It takes time. It is potentially possible
in a moment. But it is generally not the usual example that we see. It takes time. So we have to be prepared to execute and faithfully stick to those instructions. The most important way to associate with a saintly person is through vani, through his instructions. Vapu is sweet. Vapu can be very nectarian. Vapu is something that we record, we remember, etc., etc. But the real benefit is hearing. Srinvatam, Svakatha Krishna, Krishna Katha. We're getting such Krishna Katha in the association of nice devotees. And they know just how to reveal Krishna to us according to our situation within the modes of material nature. Srila Prabhupada once said that if he told us everything about deity worship, he said, to the effect, in modern language, it would blow your minds. In other words, we've got some rules and regulations that we're following, but we have no idea of the highest standards. Of course, he said this early on, and he did reveal more and more, but I can tell you from my early training in Los Angeles, very few temples that I see today live up to even those standards. What to speak of the fact that you don't install deities unless you have 8 brahmanas who are full-time engaged in. Now you find temples where there may be 1 brahmana and he's got Radha Krishna deities to look after. And of course that is more due to atrophy than initial mistake. But anyway, the point is that we have to understand by hearing. You don't go to see a great sage. For example, Vyasadeva, as it has been described, was jet black and quite ugly. Therefore, what's her name? Chitraleka? No. Is it Chitraleka? The wife of... There were 3. Ambika. Oh, yeah, Ambika. Ambika, Ambalika. And who's the other one? 3 of them. Ambika, Ambalika.
There's a servant.
Huh? And the third one, that's right. That's what I'm asking for, the name of the third. Huh?
Krishna Dharma doesn't tell.
No, it's anyway. Krishna Dharma didn't tell, therefore. Anyway, Ambika, when she saw Vyasadeva, she was horrid. There's no question. And Ambalika, she turned pale white. You know, she's brown. And she turned white. Or she was at least pinkish. So, but he was the literary, he was empowered as a literary incarnation. A jiva soul with such empowerment. And there are many other examples. Astavakra was a paraplegic. Generally people, their minds get a little bit put off when they see a cripple, and someone who's crippled as a paraplegic, and that also bent in 8 places, and not walking, he didn't have a wheelchair, he moved around by crawling on the floor like a snake. And people would make fun of him. And then there was Judd Barrett, who looked like a stunted ignorant or a, you know, completely
I don't know how you would characterize him that you would understand, but something like a mongoloid idiot, if you know what that is. Here's Judd Barrett, and he's actually the greatest personality in the whole world. But his appearance does not, he doesn't look exactly like, I don't know, Rock Hudson or somebody, or some beautiful person. So we have to concentrate on sound. Now, an interesting thing here, Yudhisthira Maharaj is described as a jata shatru, which means someone who has no enemy. His enemy was never born. He was very friendly with everyone. He was very religious and very pious. It doesn't say he was just a smuck, but it's a good American word for you. He wasn't just, you know, a wishy-washy kind of person. He was very strict with himself and his own principles. And he was strict with his brothers. And he was a good ruler. But he was very friendly with everyone. He did not make enemies. That was his nature. And this is one of the ornaments of a sadhu, right? Titikshava karunika surida sarvadehinam ajatava shatrashanta sadhava sadhu bhushana ajatava shatru. So this is one of the qualifications of Maharaj Yudhisthira. And of course he's inquiring from Sanjaya, and he's also distressed that Dhritarashtra has left home. Now Vidura, special personality, none other than Yamaraj, one of the great authorities on devotional service, he's also, his character is worshipable. His discussions with Maitreya Muni are just sublime. He was such a great soul, and he also, within the whole Kaurava and the whole Kuru dynasty, he was highly respected, and Dhritarashtra loved him. As his younger brother, Vidura was a Dasi Putra, or born of a maidservant, but still, Dhritarashtra accepted him as his brother's stepbrother. He was heavy. He told Dhritarashtra the truth, that you're getting old, you're eating the food of people who have killed your sons, you're living in their palace. Okay, Maharaj Yudhisthira wants to serve you, he respects you, but is this the way you're going to end your life? And because of Maharaj Dhritarashtra's belligerence in the matter of supporting Duryodhana, the very best he could achieve, finally, was impersonal realization. He actually saw the Virat Rupa, universal form of Krishna. A little bit different than the one that Arjuna saw, but he saw the Virat Rupa. And he associated with the person Krishna. And he knew that Krishna was the Supreme. He knew it in his heart of hearts. But there was a block there. He would not surrender. And therefore, when he took up spiritual life finally, at the instruction of, by the harsh comments, the harsh instructions of Vidura, Vidura saw that at this time there's no use in just pampering him. Vidura, his whole life, had given him instructions, but it still remained very friendly with Dhritarashtra. But now, at the end, Vidura became very harsh. And just almost, you could say, chastised Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra had an awakening. He realized his mistake. So here it is said that he cheated Sanjaya, but it was not a kind of deception where he wanted to hurt Sanjaya. But he had his own spiritual awakening, and I know I've had experience where one devotee, he had a bad experience in his household life. His wife cheated on him, literally. And Prabhupada told him to take sannyas. So he wanted to go home and tell his wife that he was leaving for sannyas. And Prabhupada told him, no, you just leave home. They will never understand. And I've seen it before also in so many Indian families. Young boys, they want to join the movement, but first they want to go home and talk to their parents. The parents never understand. You know, especially the mother, you know. She's all got all these plans for her young boy that, you know, she's very attached to him because of her love for him. And I want you to become a nice doctor or computer programmer, and you know, we're lining up a good girl and you should have 5 children, and you know, she got his whole life mapped out for him. And he never makes it back to the ashram. So when it's time to cut the knot, it's time to cut the knot. You cut it and you go. Especially, Prabhupada here says about his own life that he cheated his own family members. Now, in that situation, Prabhupada, of course, did not have to take sannyas. And if his wife and family members had been friendly, if they had at least supported his spiritual endeavors, I'm sure that he probably wouldn't have taken sannyas, because he himself admitted that he was not attracted to austerity, and the thought of sannyas horrified him. His Guru Maharaj appeared to him 3 times in a dream, and he, each time he had the dream, he was like shuddering the next day. Oh, I have to take sannyas. Oh, how horrible. Because they, you know, in those days, they knew sannyas was something serious. Not just that you get to travel around the world and you get the maha plate and you get a lot of extra prestige. Not like that. They were already enjoying better opulence than that as householders. So, but Prabhupada, we're glad he did, actually. Otherwise, who knows what would have happened to us. But what is it that we're getting cheated for? What is this higher cause? The higher cause is that such personalities set an example for the rest of society. And it is stated that if someone takes up spiritual life, even not completing his material duties, still he has no more obligations. Once he takes up full-time devotional service, he's absolved of or freed from the responsibilities of satisfying the forefathers, satisfying the demigods, satisfying relatives. One, in one sense, is a debtor, a rinni. But devarshi bhutapta rinam pitrinam. One has all these debts to repay. Nakinkaro nayamrini charajan. But, O king, when someone is fully absorbed in pure devotional service. Of course, now we see that sometimes people take to the renounced order or some kind of renunciation to get away with from one wife or one husband or whatever it is, and then they end up with another one 6 months later. That is cheating. But actually, for a higher cause, then such cheating is glorious. Sarvatmana yah sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam paritritya kartum. There is no sin involved in that kind of so-called cheating. Generally, a cheater is looked down upon, but in this case, for example, lying. A devotee is advised, especially a brahmana is advised, to be truthful. Truth is one of the most important things for a brahmana. It's the last leg of dharma still holding up. And so devotees should definitely be truthful. Some of our escapades in the name of Krishna consciousness have not been so glorious and have often gotten us into trouble, because there was certainly a modicum of or an element of imperfection or cheating or exploitation in some of our so-called transcendental lying. And it's come back to haunt us many times. Whereas if we had just relied upon Krishna and been truthful and accepted a little austerity, in the long run, we would have gained much. That's all right. But here, Lord Krishna, he told Yudhisthira to lie. Now Yudhisthira, because of his being such an exalted person, I don't know when it happened exactly, whether, you know, he was walking along and all of a sudden one day he was 1 foot above the ground, but he had this benediction or tejas, this power that his feet didn't touch the ground, if you can believe it. He really was so pure-hearted that he just didn't touch the ground, almost mystically. And I suppose we have to take it literally. He didn't touch the ground. But Lord Krishna instructed him to lie, because otherwise Dronacharya never would have been defeated. He was such a powerful warrior. Drona was the guru of all the Pandavas, all the Kauravas, and he was, not only was he expert in his training, but over years and years of experience, he had become just practically invincible. He could not be defeated. And he was blocking the path of Arjuna. Arjuna had a job to do. And Lord Krishna knew this. And therefore, he had to get rid of somehow or other. He had to make sure that Drona died. And he would not die unless some deception was used. So therefore Lord Krishna knew that, like a good householder, Drona, his weakness was he was attached to his son. And Aswatthama, of course, had some defects in his character. He was relatively a good man, but later on he developed some bad qualities, so much so that they say that even now Aswatthama is atoning for his sins till the end of the creation. He will go on atoning for his sins in terms of killing the sons of the Pandavas and attempting to kill Parikshit's son. Attempting to kill Parikshit, Abhimanyu's son. He acted heinously. And he was supported by Dronacharya. Amazing. But Dronacharya also, he was attached. So Krishna therefore instructed Yudhisthira, you call out that Aswatthama has been killed. Then Dronacharya's guard will go down. He will be depressed. He will lament. He'll stop fighting. Then we can kill him. You know, a real honest way of fighting battle, honorable, right? It was cheating. But Yudhisthira, although the instruction was coming from Krishna, he couldn't take it. He hesitated. So therefore, he actually came down to the earth from that point on. He no longer walked a foot above the ground or whatever. He came down to earth. Not because he lied, as some people say. The lying was even indirect because eventually he said, Aswatthama, the elephant, is dead. Krishna killed one elephant named Aswatthama. Or I don't know if it was Krishna or Bhima, somebody killed an elephant named Aswatthama. Therefore, Yudhisthira could say, Aswatthama, and then under his breath, the elephant. So, theoretically, he wasn't even lying, but just because he hesitated to fulfill Krishna's instruction. So for the good cause, Lord Krishna instructed him to lie. So therefore, and Prabhupada says that both parties benefit from such lying. Dronacharya was actually very happy to be killed by his students. I think he was killed by Drishtadyumna, right? He was killed by, he was born to kill him. His father had been humiliated by Drona. So he performed a yajna and out came Drishtadyumna and who else? His sister. Who was his sister? Huh? Draupadi, that's right, yeah. Draupadi. Drishtadyumna and Draupadi. So Drishtadyumna was fire-born and he was meant for killing Drona. But he couldn't until Drona, when he heard that his son was dead or what he thought he heard, then he slumped over on his chariot, exactly as Krishna knew. And then, just to do it, shot him. So, we also, I sometimes think about this a lot, sometimes, how Prabhupada, he kind of cheated us. He never informed us about all the difficulties and all the austerities that we would have to undergo to transform our dirty hearts. You know, he said, trying to make malechas into Vaishnavas is like trying to wash coal. Have you ever tried to get coal clean? You know what it's like for Srila Prabhupada. And he even used us. We could have just had a little ashram somewhere in the Catskill Mountains in New York or somewhere in California. We could have all just been with Prabhupada and, you know, lived happily ever after. But he didn't do that. He sent one devotee here and two devotees there and husband and wife here. He sent us out. And I'm sure he knew that some of us would have big difficulties. I'm sure he knew a lot of things, a lot of problems would take place. So in one sense, he cheated us, but for a greater cause, because now the message of Lord Chaitanya is being spread widely. And, of course, purely by Srila Prabhupada and his followers, by the ISKCON members, but also by many tainted, to some degree, other sampradayas, not so pure personalities, but still the holy name, the Maha Mantra, the teachings of Sri Chaitanya, they're going out. Tripurari's teaching something, and Jagadguru's teaching something, and the followers of Puri Maharaj are teaching something, and the followers, even to a degree. Well, I don't know if I should say this. Even Narayan Maharaj's followers are giving something, albeit a little bit rasika, but it's dangerous. Therefore, we have to be careful. We have to be careful. As I said, we need rational, intelligent faith. We have to be careful what we say as speakers, and we have to be careful how much we hear when everything is degree. Srila Prabhupada was 100% pure, and we can accept everything he said verbatim, but the explanation of what Srila Prabhupada said, or he said, there are many things I have said that I have not said. So that we also have to be careful. And the explanation of what he said, we have to be careful not to become too fanatical. Balanced approach. And in the end, whatever energy you give for Krishna's service, you're benefiting. There's no loss or diminution. So, actually, there's no such thing as cheating. Sanjaya's lamentation, well, it's all right. He did very good service, and is Dhritarashtra exalted? Of course he's an exalted person. And Sanjaya is a disciple of Vyasadeva. Is there anything wrong in his life? Wonderful personality. So, even though he feels he was cheated, but he hasn't lost. And he's going to benefit by the association of Yudhisthira, and Sanjaya will go back to his own austerities and whatever. And Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, she was already a great yogini. Great, powerful tapasvini. She also, very chaste wife, followed her husband to the end. So even while she was following him as a faithful wife, while he was doing foolish things, she constantly told him. She tried to advise him, just like Mandodari. She was always trying to advise Ravana. But she was faithful to Ravana because that was her position. And she's exalted. And Gandhari is also one of the seven chaste ladies in the universe. Surely she achieved an exalted destination, perhaps even greater than her husband. And there's a wonderful lesson there also, that after Dhritarashtra, after Gandhari burned him on the funeral pyre, she also followed her guru, followed her swami. So, so many things can be learned from these examples, but I do not feel that anyone who comes in touch with Vedic culture in any way is ever the less for it afterwards. They are always gaining in one way or another. And that's the whole point, to keep going, to keep struggling forward, to constantly add onto your, to build up a big bank account of devotional credits. And someday you'll reach the threshold. You know, there's a threshold beyond which you will surrender to Krishna and you'll go deeper and deeper. Right now we're trying to build up to that threshold. There's an inbuilt, what you call, we're averse to surrender. We have, it's not palatable to us. It's not our nature. We're not trained like that. And we're working on it. We're trying to become better devotees. But we will reach a certain threshold where everything will become very obvious to us. And at that point, it will become so wonderful. We'll realize that all of our efforts were very much worthwhile. Still, there's more work to do. There's always more work in surrendering to Krishna. But once you get beyond the threshold, so, okay, we'll stop there. Does anyone have any questions? Okay, thank you. Mantraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.